In addition to loving like three sentence taglines, I love blowhardy ones. Maybe it's just me being way too cynical, but like I read these and just like roll my eyes.
Well, that was the other one for Lady Hawk. It was like magical as mystery or something like that. It's like, fuck you.
This one's not too far from that. What's up? This is Movies On Up. Open your mind. Change your reality. The same co-host I've had for the last several years, the last several fall previews, Mr. Dave Becella.
Working on my PhD in Strange.
Indeed. That's Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies On Up. Open your mind. Change your reality is a rather strange tagline. If you think you know what movie that comes from, send your guess to us in one of the three following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup. Or you can tweet your guess at us, @moviesonup on the Twitter. And if you are correct and if we choose you, we will send you a prize package, which will be full of an unofficial doctorate degree from Movies On Up University. There's a couple that we look forward to doing every year, but I think as they get closer, I tend to freak out a little bit because they are a little more labor intensive. This is one of them. The summer preview and the fall preview, I think, are like, those are the episodes that we work the hardest for in any given year. We might work just as hard for the uppies, but that one seems like it's fun. This one.
This is work.
This is work. Yeah. And it can be a little bit tedious. On the one hand, we'd like to get a good jump on the release schedule, but on the other hand, it changes almost constantly. So we're sort of forced to put the schedule together as close to when we record as possible. And that means we have relatively little time to familiarize ourselves with what the hell we're going to be doing. But what we are going to be doing is run down the slate of movies from October through the end of the year. October, we do spend an awful lot of time talking about horror movies, and that's one of our favorite things to do over the year as well, but we tend to not necessarily talk about newer movies as they're coming out. So there are some of these movies that'll be very relevant that may not come up until November or December, but this is our chance to kind of, I don't want to say get them out of the way, but at least talk about them in the weeks that they're going to be released before we completely eschew everything and dive straight into the horror realm. You know, in the summer, we've got kind of our usual suspects in that we know we're going to get a certain amount of the sequels. We're going to get comic book movies. In the fall, I think we're kind of used to seeing some of the more heavy hitting Oscar type stuff. After seeing the lineup for the fall, any things that kind of jump out at you?
Not really. The first year we started this, like, there's always like, oh, 12 Years a Slave or The Wolf of Wall Street. There's these movies that Lincoln, that year, there were like five or six of them.
Dallas Buyers Club was one that I think we both, as soon as we read about it, we're like, yeah, that's
this
that's
year,
Oscars.
It's just, I mean, maybe it's because the trailers haven't been coming out yet. There's a couple that I feel, there's one in particular, I get the feel, like, I had a feeling about Foxcatcher that, like, oh, this is going to get nominated for a lot of awards. Had the same feel for Spotlight, which did get nominated and win a lot of awards. There's one that I have, like, that feel for, to where it's like, it's not your run-of-the-mill Oscar movie, but it just seems like there's a lot of swings here. It feels like this season has turned into a checklist to where the Academy's looking for these types of performances, and that's all we're going to do.
I feel like it's been that way the last couple years.
Yeah, it has. It's just, it's getting gradually worse.
Yeah. I guess to start it off, you mentioned 12 Years a Slave, and October 7th, Nate Parker's The Birth of a Nation comes out, starring Parker, Armie Hammer, one of your favorites, and Jackie Earle Haley. Written, directed, starring Parker as Nat Turner, a slave turned preacher turned revolutionary. It won the Grand Jury Prize in the U.S. Dramatic Competition at Sundance this year and was purchased by Fox Searchlight for $17.5 million in the largest deal ever made at that film festival. So this one, on the surface, sounds like it would be a huge contender for the Oscars, but it comes out at the beginning of October.
And the thing is it came out and they let know right at the beginning, like, oh, this is an Oscar movie. Like, yes, we're going to release this in Oscar season. And, I mean, they had some bad luck with Nate Parker's personal life coming out,
yeah,
which to get an Oscar nom for this is going to be hard. That's going to be really hard to overcome. So, I mean, maybe they're trying to cut their losses and just throw it out early to and just hope that it can sneak in that Oscar contention, but at least try
hope that people forget. I mean, I don't want to spend a ton of time talking about his troubles and the writer's troubles. He was acquitted. It was a nasty situation. You know, Google it if you want to know about it. Certainly we're not the show to do that. But it does seem like a movie that when Fox Searchlight paid $17.5 million for it, it was to be, I feel like, their Oscar centerpiece. And then with the rest of this stuff coming to the forefront again, I think it has forced them into basically releasing this movie a good 2 months earlier than I think we'd see it on any other year or with any other writer, director, star. Also that week, Simon Verhoeven's Friend Request with, from what I can understand, a lot less controversy, starring Alicia Debham Carey,
who I love,
William Moseley, and Connor Paolo. It's a Deutsche horror film wherein the popular Laura begins a seemingly random online friendship with unstable Mariana, only to see her friends offed one at a time after Mariana's online suicide.
I don't know much about this. I don't know Simon Verhoeven.
I don't either. I got really excited thinking it was Paul Verhoeven's kid. It's not.
It's not. No.
So,
but Alicia Debham Carey is on Fear the Walking Dead as the daughter, and she's kind of awesome. So it's going to be bad.
It doesn't.
I think of what was it? Unfriended.
Yeah,
that was terrible.
I think it was supposed to be titled like Unfriend or something.
Yeah,
and then it was changed.
When a college student unfriends a mysterious girl online is the first sentence of the plot summary. So yeah, and the F in Friend Request on the poster is the Facebook F.
That's some good tie in there.
Except it doesn't fit the rest of the poster. I do like her, though.
A lady that we both like is Emily Blunt. She will be starring in Tate Taylor's The Girl on the Train, also starring Rebecca Ferguson and Edgar Ramirez. Based on Paula Hawkins' 2015 novel of the same name, Blunt is a girl on a train, and she sees something that isn't normally seen on a train. Suspense and drama ensue from the director of The Help and Get On Up.
I like Emily Blunt, and this has a cool vibe to it. You build a movie around Emily Blunt, I don't really care what it is, I'm going to be interested just because she's super compelling on screen. She can do pretty much anything. She can be your action star in
The Bitch of War.
Yeah, The Bitch of War. I mean, she can do literally anything. She's done comedy. She can do drama. This, I'm really excited to see this, and I wouldn't be shocked if she's one of those that gets snuck into the Oscar race, because this movie's going to be built on her, and it should be a pretty good movie.
The book, I believe, was just released last year, so for it to be optioned and actually made so quickly, certainly there is something with the book. To me, it feels a little like Gone Girl, how that was sort of a...
I was trying not to make that comparison.
I don't mean thematically.
Yeah, no, they're way different. If you watch the trailer, it gets that kind of feel to where you don't know what's going on, which Gone Girl did accomplish, and you have a female novelist that wrote an awesome book. So,
yeah.
I mean, there are some...
And it was a phenomenon. It was turned into a movie very quickly.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are comparisons, but I love Emily Blunt.
It's going to become a bit of a theme this summer that there are a ton of movies based on books, and we actually have another one this week. Stephen Carr's Middle School, The Worst Years of My Life, starring Griffin Gluck, Jacob Hopkins, and Lauren Graham. Based on James Patterson's 2011 novel from the guy that gave us the worst films of my life, like Next Friday, Dr. Dolittle 2, Daddy Daycare, and Paul Blart Mall Cop, amongst others.
I hate James Patterson. I have this irrational hatred of James Patterson because he puts out probably 14 to 15 books a year, and I'm convinced he writes maybe one. This one I don't have any interest in, except Andy Daly is like the principal and the main villain of this movie, and I absolutely love Andy Daly. The trailer actually looks like it might be kind of funny, but I'll skip it because F you, James Patterson. You don't need a co-author on every goddamn book you release.
You'd almost need an accountant to keep track of how many books James Patterson does in a week. The following week, October 14th, Gavin O'Connor's The Accountant hits theaters, starring Anna Kendrick and other people like Ben Affleck and J.K. Simmons, after admirably stepping into the hot mess that was Jane Got a Gun earlier this year. O'Connor gets himself another great cast, also featuring John Bernthal, Jeffrey Tambor, and John Lithgow. Affleck stars as a financial fixer for some bad folks trying to stay one step ahead of Simmons, who plays a Treasury agent out to put him behind bars.
It looks amazing. I like O'Connor. I like him as a director. I thought he did what he could with Jane Got a Gun.
Right. That was a tough position to
be in. That was a tough position
to
be in.
A lot about it.
Warrior, love.
Yep.
This looks like awesome Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck has shown Gone Girl. You know, when you take the directing duties off of his back, like
right.
He's proven to be, at this point in career, a very competent leading man. And, I mean, I love a crime movie. This looks like it's everything that I wanted. What was the Fassbender Brad Pitt? The Counselor?
Yeah.
This looks like it's going to be everything I wanted that movie to be.
You mean the Cameron Diaz movie?
Was she in that, too?
I think so. I'm kind of hoping that we get a similar Affleck in this that we got George Clooney in
Michael Clayton.
Yeah, I thought that was a really cool
movie. I feel
movie.
Like this character is a little different than Michael Clayton.
Yeah,
now, whereas
yeah.
Clayton was just suave.
Still that kind of a movie. I'm hoping
with
that,
Michael
yeah.
Clayton, yeah.
Also out that week, Kevin Hart, What Now? Directed by Leslie Small and Tim Story, starring Kevin Hart and people. Mostly a stand-up performance filmed by one of the hardest working men in show business at The Link in Philly.
I mean, he's putting out a stand-up movie almost every year. I think it's at least every other year. I respect that because the stand-up film is a lost art. Like,
nobody really does it anymore.
No, I grew up with Raw and
yeah, Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor.
Major, yeah.
George Carlin.
Cosby. Like, I mean, yeah,
who?
There's still, huh? Yeah. but like there's still stand-up specials and it's still a huge art, but like nobody's putting them theatrically. And this is his, what, third or fourth?
Yeah, he's
like,
got a handful, yeah.
So
in addition to...
And he's being one of the busiest movie stars in the
exactly.
world.
Exactly. So it does take a lot to, you know, I don't know, I'm not a stand-up, but from what I've heard of stand-ups, to have entirely new material every year, every other year, in addition to working on all the other projects.
13 months a year,
yeah, which is pretty nuts. That one maybe not for the kiddies, but Max Steel certainly is. It's Stuart Hendler's film based off the youth television program starring Ben Winchell, Anna Villafane, and Andy Garcia, wherein Max and his alien buddy Steel team up to save the world.
It looks terrible. We have monster trucks coming out in like January or February, and I thought like, oh, this is the worst of the worst. They cannot make a worse movie capitalizing on something from adults' childhoods and marketing it towards today's kids. And then this movie comes out and proves like, oh, yeah, they can.
Probably the audiences for Max Steel and our next movie are certainly not the same. It's Kelly Reichardt's Certain Women, starring Kristen Stewart, Michelle Williams, and Laura Dern. Written and directed by Reichardt, based on a short story collection from Maile Malloy, featuring three intersecting stories set in Montana.
It's one of those intertwining where they're all different stories that I think come together loosely.
In Montana.
Yeah, that cast, though. Michelle Williams, she's interesting on screen no matter what she's doing.
For sure. Laura Dern is great. I'm hoping this signals kind of like a return to actual acting from Kristen Stewart, who does have talent.
Oh, she was
pre-Twilight. Terrible projects.
Yeah, pre-Twilight. She was, I thought, like a really great young actress. And she's shown it in other stuff, but
right.
It's almost like she picks and chooses when she wants to show up.
Yeah, and hopefully she'll show up in this one. Also in limited release that week, Deserto, directed by Jonas Curran, starring Gael Garcia Bernal and Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Bernal and a group of Mexican migrant workers attempt to sneak across the border and are confronted by either the best or worst border patrolling, gun-toting vigilante agent ever, depending on your political leanings, co-written and directed by Donald Trump, along with producers and fam, Carlos and his dad, Alfonso.
Yeah, I just feel like there's sometimes movies come out that are extremely topical on accident.
Yes.
Where, like,
do you think this is on accident?
I think this movie was in the works before everything that was happening. And I think it's one of those that just the timing is convenient.
yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
Hoping to scare up some money at the box office the next week is Boo! A Madea Halloween, directed by, you guessed it, Tyler Perry, starring Tyler Perry, Diamond White, and Bella Thorne. Madea scared stupid. Is that a fair thing to say?
Probably, I guess. Or just Madea's stupid. Because Ernest Scared Stupid I thought was fun. But I mean, I guess I had some connection to the Ernest character. And
right.
I don't have that connection with Madea.
I mean, I make the Ernest Madea comparisons all the time, having seen any Madea films.
It's logical. It makes sense. But in the first couple, Madeas did great. But I think the Larry the Cable Guy one didn't do that great. I just assume Larry the Cable Guy was in a Madea movie at some point.
From what I understand, most of the Madea movies are based off of plays, Tyler Perry's plays. This is, I think, the second one that is not. And I believe that the other one that was not all that successful either. But I'm certainly not ashamed to profess my love for Ernest, nor am I ashamed to tell you that also in wide release that week is Brian Baugh's I Am Not Ashamed, starring Maisie McLean, Ben Davies, David Arago Jr., and Corey Chapman, based on the journals of Rachel Joy Scott, who was the first victim of the Columbine shootings in 1999. So certainly a much heavier...
Spoiler alert.
She dies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She was, from what I gather, she was the first one to die. Klebold and Harris have been cast in the movie. They're kind of, as you might assume, they are the main antagonists in it. And this is her story. You mentioned movies that are topical, but maybe accidentally. I don't think that it's an accident that with all of the mass shootings that we've had recently that we're going to get a movie like this. By all accounts, it is somewhat inspiring. I'm not exactly sure how that could be the case, judging by what a terrible event it was, but at least that's what the internet is telling me. It's also telling me not to go back with Edward Zwick and Jack Reacher, Never Go Back, starring Tom Cruise and Kobe Smulders. This time around, Jack Reacher round two, as Cruise returns after being wrongfully accused of a murder, must clear his name.
I wish it were called Jack Reacher round two.
Me too.
Yeah.
I feel like there's probably somebody that suggested that and got fired.
Yeah, they got let go.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, never let go of me. And they're like, hey, I think you're onto something. I like the first Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
He's terrible casting for the Jack Reacher character because in the books he's like this imposing like 6'5 ex-military guy and Tom Cruise is like 4'4. But Tom Cruise was really good. It was an action movie that wasn't a dumb action movie. There was enough to it to keep you interested. I like that there's a sequel because I don't think people were clamoring for it, but like I'll see it.
But it was successful enough to have a sequel.
Yeah.
If Tom Cruise doesn't necessarily have the look you would assume ex-military might have, if I were to cast, in a comedy, a somewhat average-looking, maybe not average-looking, but a guy that looks like he could be your neighbor but also a secret agent, I think Jon Hamm would be at the top of my list. He was also at the top of Greg Mottola's list for the lead in Keeping Up with the Joneses, also starring Wonder Woman, Isla Fisher and Zach Galifianakis. Galifianakis and Fisher get caught up in hijinks when they find out that their neighbors are secret agents in disguise in Mottola's follow-up to Paul.
I think it looks great.
Yeah.
I like every,
I love everyone involved.
I like that cast. I like Mottola. I think Paul is criminally underrated. I'm really excited for this one.
I agree. More Jon Hamm, please.
Oh, yeah. He needs to be. He should be a bigger movie star.
Yes. I don't see any reason that Paul Rudd can blow up the way he did, and he deserves it. Jon Hamm's just as talented, and I think they both do kind of the same thing. So, yes, more Hamm, please. We're also getting more Ouija. We're going to find out the origin of that evil from Mike Flanagan, starring Doug Jones, Henry Thomas. Yeah, there's that kid from E.T. Kate Siegel and Lynn Shea. Flanagan's on to pick up about 50 years before Stiles White's original film takes place. He also brings along his wife, Kate Siegel. The two teamed up earlier this Hush. Year for Hush and probably years of marital bliss as well. But this isn't marital bliss on up. So I'm into Mike Flanagan. I don't
he
really
also had Before I Wake that is just postponed indefinitely, I guess. Like he came onto this movie after that one was done. And that one's just.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know why this warranted a sequel or prequel.
Because, it was made for probably $5 million. It made 20 at the box office. They're like, holy shit, we're on to something. But I like Flanagan, and I like Siegel. So I have not seen the original Ouija, but I will absolutely see this one in about 9 months when it's on DVD. in limited release that week is American Pastoral, directed by Ewan McGregor, starring McGregor. Coraline herself, Dakota Fanning, and Jennifer Connelly. Obi-Wan makes his directorial debut based on John Romano's 1997 novel of the same name. McGregor watches his family come under fire in their small town thanks to his daughter, who was played by Fanning, her unpopular and new political views right around the time of the Vietnam War.
I like McGregor a lot. I don't know that this is going to get me, but...
Yeah, it seems a little heavy, and I don't think that... I'm pretty sure he was not the original director. I think the director bounced on the project, and then they said, oh, what the hell? Use the Force.
I'd like to see Dakota Fanning return to being that bright, promising young actress pre-Twilight.
And certainly I think this is the type of movie that's closer to doing that than the Twilight movies, the aforementioned Twilight movies. Also, in limited release that week, Barry Jenkins' Moonlight, starring Trevante Rhodes, Ashton Sanders, and Alex Hibbert. Barry Jenkins adapts Terrell Alvin McCartney's play. In Moonlight, black boys look blue, where Rhodes, Sanders, and Hibbert all play the protagonist, Chiron, throughout three phases of his life. So it's like Boyhood, except they have three different guys.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to make that comparison. It's a three-story movie, but it's just this same dude at three points of life. I think it'll be cool. I think it has the potential to be interesting.
Absolutely. We are in October, the end of October, and it wouldn't feel maybe like a successful October unless we got a Ty West movie, and we do. In a Valley of Violence, starring that man that we just talked a lot about last week, Ethan Hawke, Tessa Farmiga, James Ransone, Karen Gillan, and John Travolta. We talked a little bit about him, too. However, this is not a Ty West horror movie. Taking a little break from that genre to give us a Western story about a drifter and his dog who run afoul with local outlaws played by Ransone.
I like Ty West for the most part. I'm interested to see where he goes. I wasn't nuts on The Sacrament. I feel like it got too Eli Roth influenced. I really like him as a director. I thought The Innkeepers and the Babysitter.
House of the Devil.
House of the Devil. I thought those showed a lot of promise. So him making a Western, I think it'll be violent.
Like, oh, certainly. And it's in the title.
I'm interested to see where he goes, so I'm on board with it.
Gene Jones, he was great in The Sacrament, though. Holy smokes, was he good. That was the father character, that dude. You might say he was on fire. October 28th, the flaming-haired director himself, Ron Howard, comes back with Inferno. Tom Hanks, Felicity Jones, and Ben Foster. I'm sorry, Ben, but this will be one that I skip. It's another Robert Langdon adventure penned by Dan Brown. Because I don't really want to talk about the movie. Da Vinci Code grossed $217 million, the follow-up Angels and Demons just $133. So let's play that old over-under game.
70.
Okay, I'm obviously going to take the over on that one. But my over-under was going to be 175 because that's right in the middle. So you're obviously going
way under.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're both under on 170.
Struggles for 100.
Yeah.
Because we have other Tom Hanks at this season. So it's
we
not
do.
Like people are clamoring for their Hanksin. Not Hanks.
A hankering for
Tom.
Hanks. Yeah, they'll get that a little bit later. Apparently, people were hankering for another entry in the Ring franchise. F. Javier Gutierrez brings us Rings, starring Matilda Lutz, Alex Rowe, Johnny Galecki, Amy Teagarden, and Vinny D'Onofrio. A direct sequel to The Ring 2, set 13 years after the last movie, about a movie that kills people just 7 days after seeing it.
I don't get where you go from here, though, because you can't still be a VHS tape.
It's...
How do you avoid watching a VHS tape in 2016? Have a VHS tape.
It's easy, yeah, because there aren't any VCRs being made anymore. Not to get too far into the plot, but supposedly it is about a movie that is buried within the original movie. So there is something that we didn't all see that apparently does something worse than killing you after 7 days. I don't know. I like the first one, never saw the second one. Perhaps that will bring that now trilogy to a close. That also brings October to a close, and we head to November 4th, where in wide release that week, we get Benedict Cumberbatch, Mads Mikkelsen, Tilda Swinton in Scott Derrickson's Doctor Strange.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yeah, you get him too, and probably some other guys too. Derrickson has got a history with ghost stories. Not that Doctor Strange is necessarily a ghost story, but it's certainly the most supernatural of the Marvel movies to this point. Directed Hellraiser, which was not necessarily great. Exorcism of Emily Rose, which I like quite a bit. Sinister and Deliver Us from Evil. Arguably his biggest movie was the 2008 Keanu remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still. So that's kind of following Marvel's record of not necessarily picking the biggest name directors to lead these movies. And it working out fine.
Yeah, he's done a good job of creating this atmosphere in his movies, which they really wanted with Doctor Strange, because it looks so trippy.
It's so much of a break from Ant-Man and some of the stuff we've seen recently. A guy that was maybe on track to become an incredible director took a sharp right from that, and that is Mel Gibson. He returns with Hacksaw Ridge, starring a guy that was, until very recently, a big part of the Marvel Universe, Andrew Garfield, Vince Vaughn, and one of Dave's favorites. Actually, these are probably Andrew Garfield and Sam Worthington are probably two ones that Dave's got posters on his wall. Garfield swings into action as Desmond T. Doss, who received the Congressional Medal of Honor from Harry Truman following his heroics in the Battle of Okinawa in WWII. Gibson's first directorial effort in about a decade since Apocalypto.
I don't know what happened. I really liked Garfield in that Never Let Me Go, and I liked Kid A, I believe, Boy A, whatever that was called, and I thought he was really good in Social Network, but I just... Since Spider-Man, I've hated him in everything, and I don't know why. And him in this stupid little Southern accent, I'm not
interested. In fairness, there hasn't been much since Spider-Man. He was
he had the Houses movie.
99 Homes, which I did not see, and that was it. That's the only other thing he's done since Spider-Man.
This isn't going to get me on board. You throw Worthington in there, and it's like,
You'd think that we would be on board for the next movie, because all it really takes is Anna Kendrick. Throw in some Justin Timberlake, who I like just as fine.
Gwen Stefani.
A dash of Deschanel. And you have Mike Mitchell and Walt Dorn's Trolls. It's a movie about troll dolls.
I don't think my kids know what troll dolls are.
Probably not. This movie is not for us.
No.
Just
no.
Move on. In limited release this week is Ben Younger's Bleed for This, starring Miles Teller, Aaron Eckhart, and Katie Sagal. A biopic of boxer Vinny Penzania, who climbed back into the ring following a near-fatal car crash. Not immediately, though there was some rehab time in between there. Younger's been a little under the radar since 2005 when he wrote and directed the Uma Thurman joint Prime. 5 years after one of Dave's favorites, Boiler Room. Yeah, there's that guy.
This movie looks awesome. I'm not a Teller fan, but this looks...
I am a Teller fan, and I'm a boxing fan.
I'm a boxing fan, yeah. And I like this story. This is one of the most amazing stories. This looks really, really good. Teller put in some work for this movie, and maybe this is the McAvoy turn that Teller needs for me, but I'm stoked on this movie and the next one.
In the past couple movies, we've kind of referenced a lot of screenwriters, and I think Jeff Nichols is a guy that does some really interesting stuff as well. He's got Loving coming out this week, starring Joel Edgerton, who's another guy that Dave loves a lot, and Ruth Negga, who I think is going to be...
Who I love.
Yeah, someone that I think most people are really going to start to like if you haven't caught her in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or The Preacher or
Ralph. Warlord of Warcraft earlier this year.
Oh, I did not catch her in that.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was in that to be
Sorry,
caught.
Ben Foster. I'm not watching that either. It's a biopic of Richard and Mildred Loving, the plaintiffs in the 1967 Supreme Court case, which invalidated state laws preventing interracial marriage. Spoiler alert, they win.
I think this is the one that puts Nichols flat dab in the middle of... He's making great movies, and he has been for a few years. I think this is what gets him that Oscar love.
This one might be like the most accessible,
it's the most award hungry one. It's definitely a departure from Midnight Special from earlier in the year. I honestly think this is a Best Picture nom. I think he's a Best Director nom. I think Negga and Edgerton both get acting and actressing noms.
I think it's going to be great to see Edgerton specifically get that acclaim, because I feel like he's deserved it for a while, but for whatever reason, the movies that he's been in just haven't.
You talk about somebody who's delivering in everything he's acting in.
Yeah.
His writing career is quietly awesome, and he's an amazing up-and-coming director.
Yeah.
Like, the guy can do it all, including be nominated for an Oscar.
Moving on to November 11th. First week of November is close enough to Christmas. It's Almost Christmas, directed by David E. Talbert, starring Danny Glover, Gabrielle Union, and Kimberly Elise. Laughs aplenty as a family gathers for their first holiday together following the death of the matriarch. It's supposed to be a comedy.
Yeah.
Maybe like, was it Death at a Funeral?
Yeah.
I guess it's a dark comedy. I liked that well enough. I'm not
I
sure.
I like
that...
Danny Glover.
Yeah.
Like, we don't see him a lot.
I like this stage of Danny Glover.
It's got Romany Malco, Omar Epps, J.B. Smoove. Like, right? I like all those people.
I like this Danny Glover who actually is too old for this shit now.
Yeah, he was too old back then. Now he's just like, he looks at that Danny Glover and is like, man, you a young pup.
Man, shut your mouth. Also arriving in theaters that week is Denis Villeneuve's Arrival, starring Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner, and Forest Whitaker, based on Ted Chiang's Story of Your Life. Cunning linguist Amy Adams teaches up with math whiz Renner and army guy Whitaker to answer the incredible simple question of why are they here?
I think this...
They being aliens.
...does the same thing for Villeneuve that Loving is going to do for Nichols. Like, I think this is a Best Picture nom. I think this is a Best Directing nom. I think Amy Adams gets nominated. Renner could be in there. Like, this movie... looks amazing. And Villeneuve is on this awesome tear where everything he's making lately has been awesome. It seems like it's all building up to this, and this is getting the love from the studio, getting a prime release spot. And this might be a weird comparison, but with as big as Stranger Things was and the nostalgia that that takes you back to E.T. and Close Encounters of the Third Kind, like, here might be our modern day Close Encounters from a director who's just on fire.
It's hard to say that the guy that did Sicario is still under the radar.
That movie got no love. That and Prisoners.
Yeah.
Grossly overlooked when it came to the Oscars.
When it comes to the Oscars, certainly. But, I mean, Sicario getting a sequel, from an award standpoint, sure. But I still think that people are, I think that they're aware of him. Certainly a director that has received love from the Oscars and people are aware of is Ang Lee. Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk also will be in theaters that week, starring Joe Alwyn, the aforementioned Kristen Stewart and Chris Tucker, the Slumdog Millionaire Oscar award winning, speaking of Oscar award winners, screenwriter Simon Beaufoy adapts Ben Fountain's novel about an Iraqi war veteran brought home for a victory celebration after a particularly bad battle. He's got some flashbacks that provide us some insight into what actually happened overseas and how that differs from the public's perception.
It seems like every year or so there's this movie that comes out that just doesn't appeal to me at all, but the awards eat it up. I feel like that's this movie. It's Ang Lee, who won Best Director for Life of Pi, didn't he?
Yes.
You know, his movies are generally get a lot of attention, and then you have the topic of war in a great cast. Like, I just feel like this will be one of the main Oscar contenders, but it doesn't look interesting to me at all.
I actually am kind of interested in it because
I don't like the Cowboys.
What's that?
It's halftime of Cowboys.
Oh, right. I am interested in it because of Ang Lee and also just the storytelling that's going to be told. I kind of like the non-sequential storytelling, and I like that it's going to be kind of a different look at the Iraq War. I mean, I think people are very excited about sending our kids over there and crushing the terrorists, which is a great thing. But I do think that there's two sides to that story. And I'm sure that Ang Lee is a guy that's not really afraid to tackle that other side. So at the very least, I think it'll be interesting because of that. And rounding out that week is Farron Blackburn's Shut-In, starring Naomi Watts, Oliver Platt, and Jacob Tremblay. It was pushed back from February of 2016 to June. To September, and finally, we think, to this week. Watts plays a widowed child psychologist who must survive a terrible winter storm while finding a way to save a young boy before he disappears.
Jacob Tremblay is the little boy, Naomi Watts. I don't know. It's one of those that's dime a dozen, that one of them is really, really good, but the other nine are...
The others, you can't tell them apart. You don't know which you're actually talking about. No, which was the good one? Maybe it's Shut-In?
Yeah.
Moving on to November the 18th is The Edge of 17, directed by Kelly Fremon Craig, starring Haley Seinfeld, Haley Lou Richardson, and Blake Jenner. Described as a John Hughes-like comedy about an awkward girl, Steinfeld, whose life gets a little more awkward when her brother starts dating her bestie.
I like Steinfeld a lot.
Sure.
I think she's turning into just this really interesting actress. We're not in the early 2000s anymore where, like, high school movies are it. They're a little bit more fewer and far between now. So I'd like to see it be good. It's got Kara Sedgwick, Woody Harrelson. I like her. So we'll see.
I guess we'll have to take a wait-and-see approach on our next one as well. It's David Yates' Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, starring Eddie Redmayne, Catherine Waterston, and Dan Fogler. The Wizarding World gets just a little bit bigger in this first spinoff, which is set for a trilogy with Volume 2 in 2018 and the follow-up just 2 years after that.
Written by J.K. Rowling, which I think is awesome. Like, she's such a amazing writer, and this is her foray into screenwriting, so I'm interested in it from that aspect. And I like that it's a spinoff of Harry Potter that's not relying on
Harry Potter.
Like, Newt Scamander is such a small, minuscule part of the Harry Potter universe, so to have the balls to build a trilogy off of him, I think is great.
It feels like the Harry Potter equivalent of Rogue One
or The Hobbit to Lord of the Rings, maybe. I mean, I guess we'll see, because it's going to be hard to get that magic that Harry Potter had this built up from people reading the books and stuff.
Although I feel like The Hobbit had a fair amount of build up from that being a book, too.
Yeah, and it didn't seem to deliver as well as
it didn't need to be three movies.
Yeah. But this, I'm interested. I can't keep thinking that I wish it was Matt Smith and not Eddie Redmayne. I don't know why. That's something that I'll have to get over. But the rest of the cast, Colin Farrell, Catherine Waterston.
Dan Fogler.
I hate Dan Fogler.
I
cannot stand Dan Fogler. So I'm hoping they kill him off. So I'll go in hoping that he gets killed off, and then I'll be happy to see it.
And then they'll bring on Matt Smith for the second one, and everything will be fine. In limited release that week, Kenneth Lohgren's Manchester by the Sea, starring Casey Affleck, Michelle Williams, and Kyle Chandler. Following the death of his brother, Kyle Chandler, Casey Affleck inherits Chandler's kid and ex-wife, Lohgren, perhaps best known for writing Scorsese's Gangs of New York. I love the cast.
This is
at least the two leads.
This is the one that I kind of think gives me like a Spotlight or a Foxcatcher type feel. I just feel like it's going to be good, and that it's going to get Affleck and maybe Chandler and Lonergan, and Michelle Williams seems to get nominated for everything she does. I think this aired at Sundance and it just got rave reviews. I'm really excited for it. I like Casey Affleck a lot. Ever since Gone Baby Gone.
Yeah. I think now we're having an Affleck mashup.
But like, if you watch Gone, I guess I love that Casey Affleck, and this gives me, it feels like that kind of Casey Affleck, which I'm excited for.
You heard it here. Don't sleep on Manchester by the Sea. Don't sleep on Nocturnal Animals, directed by Tom Ford, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Amy Adams, and Kick-Ass himself, Aaron Taylor Johnson. Another film based on a novel. This time, it's Austin Wright's 1993 book, Tony and Susan. Gyllenhaal plays the aforementioned Tony to Adams' Susan, who takes Tony's recent book as a thinly veiled threat of revenge.
Tom Ford, he did A Single Man 7 years ago, which was kind of cool. But Gyllenhaal's at a point where, minus what, Demolition from a few months ago, it seems like everything he's doing is really, really interesting. And then you put him with Amy Adams and Michael Shannon and Aaron Taylor Johnson and Isla Fisher. And then Armie Hammer apparently snuck onto set. But Andrea Riseborough, Michael Sheen, like Laura Linney, like you keep going down the cast list and it's like, oh my, everybody in this movie rules.
Armie Hammer's
in it. So hopefully he gets killed off early.
You want to talk about a candidate for the McAvoy turn. I think you got to look at Armie Hammer.
No, you can't. He already won the Worthless Worthington.
You can't
go from winning Worthless Worthington to that.
I don't think that's in the bylaws. What better redemption story can you have?
I like Gyllenhaal. Prisoners, overlooked for an Oscar.
Nightcrawler way
overlooked for an Oscar.
Yeah.
Is this the one? Like, is this where they're like, oh, hey, this could be it? I don't know. We'll see. I think it'll be cool just because
I think it'll be a cool movie.
I love Amy Adams, and I love what Gyllenhaal's doing right now.
Yeah, I don't know that it's going to necessarily be Oscar.
It might not.
Stuff.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if it sneaks in there.
Maybe
but
adapted
not
screenplay or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just doesn't scream Oscar role for me, I suppose. Though I am excited to see it. I'm also super pumped, and I don't a lot of times say this about Robert Zemeckis movies, certainly not recent Robert Zemeckis movies, but I am very excited for Allied, which will be out on November the 23rd, starring Brad Pitt, Marion Cotillard, and Lizzie Kaplan. It is a romantic thriller set in World War II Casablanca. That is all I need. Sign me up.
Written by Stephen Knight, which is another. Zemeckis is at such a point, though, where it's like, but Brad Pitt, like, the cast is good.
Yeah.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn, really.
It does seem eerily similar to Casablanca. Not Gone with the Wind, which is maybe the reference you were going for there. They're not the same movie. They both do take place during a war, and they're both old. But this movie might make $40 at the box office because I go see it four times. I suspect it'll be a bit more successful than that, given the director, given the names involved. It's 100% right up my alley. For those of you that don't love World War II set romantic dramas, if you like comedy, you might be in good shape. That week, Mark Waters finally brings back Billy Bob Thornton, Tony Cox, and Brett Kelly back to the screen in Bad Santa 2. As far back as 2009, Thornton mentioned that a sequel might be in the works, and just a scant 13 years after the first, we have ourselves some more Bad Santa.
I don't know why.
Just go watch the first one again.
Yeah. I can't even pretend to be...
Are you a little bit interested just to see grown-up Thurman Merman?
I've never seen Bad Santa.
Oh.
To be honest with you.
All right. Well, I guess you wouldn't be then. Watch the first one then. Or if you don't want to see Bad Santa that week, take your kids, because I know that they're going to want to see Moana, directed by Ron Clements, John Musker, Don Hall, and Chris Williams, starring Dwayne Johnson, Wash, Alan Tudyk, Jermaine Clement, and Aluil Carvalho. I butchered that poor girl's name, but I don't know. I don't do apostrophes very well. Disney heads to the high seas again, this time with some island flair, as Moana heads off for some adventure with her tatted-up demigod buddy, Maui, voiced by The Rock.
Director's The Little Mermaid, The Rock, Disney, who's been on a tear. For some reason, like, it's not
interesting. I feel like this is the kind of kids' movie The Rock should be making.
Yeah, not the game plan or the
right. Like,
the
this is going to be a great role for him. He's just doing the voice work, but the character seemingly has that physicality, has that charisma, has a little bit of arrogance, which he can do wonderfully.
I like the idea of a new princess that maybe they can, you know, break out with this one. Maybe it's just because it's such a good year for animated movies so far that it's hard for me to, how do you top Zootopia? How do you top Kubo? How do you top Secret Life of Pets was okay. Like, it's been such a good year for animated movies that it's got a lot to top. It's got a lot of competition.
Got a lot to live up to for sure. Also that week, we mentioned Mel Gibson kind of making his return to directing. The same applies for Warren Beatty in his film The Rules Don't Apply, starring Beatty.
Hillary Clinton story.
Yeah. Lily Collins, just to be fair and balanced there. And Alden Ehrenreich. Welcome.
Han Solo.
Yes, indeed. Perhaps better known at this point as the future young Han Solo. Welcome back, Beatty. His first acting role since Town and Country in 01, and his first directorial effort since Bullworth in 1998. This time around, Collins and Han Solo secretly begin a courtship expressly forbidden by their employer and noted weirdo, Howard Hughes. What's a period piece?
I mean, this cast, though, is insane. Tessa Farmiga and Lily Collins are two, like, really compelling actresses.
Farmiga's got a lot of movies this fall.
Yeah, she's awesome. Lily Collins, I think, is great. Han Solo's awesome. And you got Ed Harris, Annette Bening, obviously. Alec Baldwin, Matthew Broderick, Martin Sheen, Oliver Platt, Candace Bergen, Steve Coogan, Josh Molina. That's a cast. I think this will get a lot of hype just for Warren Beatty, who I think if you're much younger than us, like, you don't remember Warren Beatty as this enormous movie star. I mean, we're Dick Tracy, Bullworth-era
right.
Warren Beatty. But,
and that was on the tail end of it, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, everything prior to that, like, was just, he was a movie star.
Right.
He was one of the biggest movie stars, to where people older than us, like, that name still means something to them. So I'm interested how this is received. Bullworth was a legitimately great movie.
And I think he has the opportunity here playing a character like Howard Hughes. I mean, that's a character that's gotten people some attention from the Oscars. And I think that maybe just because it's been so long for Warren Beatty. I think people might really want to see that.
It seems like every year, what was Robert Redford for All Is Lost was nominated. Like, there's that comeback to where Sylvester Stallone for Creed, where it's like, oh, he's back. We know this guy from a long time ago. Let's get him. Golden Globes usually throw nominations to them anyway, just for...
Because they have more.
Yeah, I'm interested to see. It could go either way. You could tell me this movie ends up with 8 to 10 Oscar noms, and I wouldn't be surprised. Or
if
it could
ends up a zero.
It's one of those that, like, time will tell. But I'm interested in it because that cast is great. Howard Hughes is just an interesting dude. So to see Warren Beatty's take on him, it is enough to get me in the seat.
For sure. On to November 25th, in limited release that week, Gareth Davis's Lion, starring Dev Patel, Nicole Kidman, Rooney Mara. You guessed it, based on a book by Saro Briley, A Long Way Home. Patel plays Briley, who used Google Earth to find his real family years after being adopted by an Australian family.
Dev Patel has had quite a career. I feel like almost quietly. Like, he burst onto the scene with Slumdog Millionaire, and he's been successful since then. He's building himself up as this leading man, that not your conventional, traditional leading man. I think it'll be interesting. I love Rooney, you know, not as much as her sister. I like Nicole Kidman, David Wenham. It'll be interesting.
I guess we can forgive him for The Last Airbender, but he was in the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. I liked About Cherry. He was in that. I really like Chappie. I know we disagree on that, but he's done some different stuff for sure. And I think he's even Airbender. Like, the dude tried. There's just not much you're going to be able
to. Fault.
Yeah, there's not much you're going to be able to do with that. Down the home stretch, and we get into December in wide release that week, is Brad Peyton's Incarnate, starring Aaron Eckhart, Carice Van Houten, and Claudia Sandro Moreno. After directing The People's Champ in San Andreas, Peyton gets another crack at directing a WWE superstar. This time, it's the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, in this exorcism story.
Aaron Eckhart has had such a weird career. It's also got little Batman from that show is in this.
From Gotham?
Yeah.
That kid?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that's enough for
Melisandre, the Red
it.
Priestess.
Not from Gotham?
Yes, also from Gotham via Game of Thrones. It does seem like kind of a weird place for what I assume is going to be like a scary-ish kind of movie. We bitch and complain because they don't release these in October.
This year they did, though. You got Ouija and
you're
Rings.
Right. There's a couple in October, but I don't know. I guess they were just saving this one. They didn't want to load October with horror movies. Heaven forbid. We wouldn't be able to keep watching them all. Also that week, Sean Carter's Keep Watching, starring Bella Thorne, Ian Gruffudd, Natalie Martinez, and Chandler Riggs.
Coral!
His family is terrorized by a group of techie thugs who broadcast the kill or be killed game on the web.
Lee Wannell shows up in a bit part.
Yeah,
I saw
he does.
Him in the cast. It's like, oh, I got to double check. Did he write this? No, he didn't. Not interested.
It just seems like we've got two movies that both sort of have that horror. December, it's beginning to look a lot like October.
Here's the thing. December 2nd.
Yeah.
This is a terrible, terrible week, but there's a movie that will be nominated for Best Actor or Best Movie.
Best Picture.
And get a bunch of other noms that's limited that week in a crap storm.
So it is
not Halle Berry.
Luis Prieto's Kidnap, starring Halle Berry, Sage Correa, and Lou Temple. Not that one.
If you've seen the trailer for this, I feel like you've seen the movie. The trailer is incredibly detailed, and I feel like I've honestly seen the
whole
thing.
Does it involve her kid getting napped?
Her kid gets napped.
Okay.
She goes after him. She falls off the car. She loses her phone. She chases him down in her car and then reaches for her phone and says, "Where's my phone?" And then goes to the cops. And they's like, "Oh, just sit there and wait and we'll take a report." And then she looks at all these missing kids posters and says, "That's what they did. They waited." And she runs out and gets in her car. And that's it. She's got a specific set of skills.
Waiting is not one of them. Waiting is exactly what this movie did. It was supposed to be Relativity's first post-bankruptcy release, but was jumped by The Disappointments Room and Before I Wake, which I think actually releases
after both of them now.
Did it get backed up? Because I thought it was supposed to release this week.
I don't think so.
This
think
week it, as we record.
Yeah, I think it got bumped again because I think we talked about it. I don't. I think it's indefinitely off the schedule.
Take a look, because I feel like I just looked that up yesterday. While you look at that, I will mention, in fact, the movie that Dave is going to be gaga over, La La Land. It's Damien Chazelle's limited release movie that week, starring Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone, and J.K. Simmons. It is the third in the Gosling Stone trilogy, with Crazy Stupid Love and Gangster Squad preceding it. One of those is better than the other. Though it was very nearly a Miles Teller, Emma Watson jam. Teller was dropped for Gosling, and I can't say that I disagree with that one, while Watson pulled out due to conflicts with Beauty and the Beast, which Gosling passed on to appear to sing and dance in this. Chazelle and Simmons both worked pretty well together last time out in 2014's Whiplash. Between those two, Chazelle also wrote the screenplay for 10 Cloverfield Lane. So that guy's writing some super interesting stories, which are not really in the same vein.
Yeah, this, it's a musical. It's got two leads that are loved by pretty much all
humans.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. And Before I Wake was due to come out the week that we put our Danny Elfman episode up, but it got bumped. So
to when?
TBD.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so it went from last September to this summer to this September to who knows.
Well, that's what happens when your studio goes bankrupt.
Yep.
The release dates seem to go bye-bye. In December 9th, Stacey titles The Bye Bye Man, featuring Douglas Smith, Lucien Laviscount, who's got one of the coolest names this side of Benedict Cumberbatch, Doug Jones, and Carrie Ann Moss. Filmed in about a month in Cleveland, and that's about the most interesting thing I have to say about this movie.
I feel like this got bumped. I feel like this was talked about in our summer preview.
I think so.
Because this is the one where the Bye Bye Man makes people kill themselves.
He does.
Or something, yeah.
He may be responsible for causing various killing sprees across the years, but another horror movie in December. We're 2 weeks in December, and we've got at least three horror movies.
Well, it used to be
January.
January was like the dumping ground for them.
Now they're prematurely dumping. Also that week, John Madden's Ms. Sloane, starring Jessica Chastain, Mark Strong, and Gugu Mbatha-Raw. Madden's first feature since the Best Exotic Marigold double feature sees Chastain take on the gun lobby to pass gun control legislation. Yeah, that smells like an Oscar movie right there. It may not, I probably won't see it, but this is, I feel like, prime candidate for best female performance. A lot of those movies, I think, have a great female performance, and I don't see.
I love her. And Mark Strong, I'm a big fan of, but I don't know. It seems too Beatty for me. Not too Warren Beatty. Too Oscar Beatty.
Very much so. You want to talk about checking off boxes, and I feel like that's got all of them. I think perhaps less Oscar love might be headed the way of Josh Gordon and Will Speck for Office Christmas Party, starring Jason Bateman, Jennifer Aniston, T.J. Miller, and Kate McKinnon. The guys that brought you Blades of Glory and The Switch give Kate McKinnon another chance to steal a movie and make sure that she ends up being a thing.
I don't expect much from this.
I don't either, which is a shame because I love T.J. Miller. I want to see Kate McKinnon in things after Ghostbusters. She's the best thing to come out of that movie, and I just don't think this is going to help her.
I like Jillian Bell. I like Rob Corddry, Randall Park, Matt Walsh, like Vanessa Bayer. Like, there's a ton of funny people. And Bateman, I kind of miss Bateman as a movie star. Like, he's kind of tapered off. It just seems too, I don't know.
Moving on to December 16th, it's Collateral Beauty, directed by David Frankel, starring Will Smith, Kate Winslet, Keira Knightley, Helen Mirren, Edward Norton. I'm not exactly sure what it's about, but I am sure that it does feature two Academy Award winners in Winslet and Mirren, and three nominees in Smith, Norton, and Knightley. So, again, I don't know what it's about, but I would suspect that there will be some amount of Oscar attention focused on it.
Will Smith wants that Oscar. Like, he had Concussion last year as a Christmas Day release. I believe he loses a son or something. Like, this is a downward spiral that he goes on. I like Will Smith. I'm not opposed to Oscar winner Will Smith, and the cast around him is...
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not... Short of trying to wedge Daniel Day-Lewis in there, I mean, could you possibly do better than that?
I mean, you even have Naomi Harris and Michael Pena, who I like, on top of everything else. I haven't seen much from this. I think they just released a trailer a couple weeks ago, and I haven't watched it at the time of recording, but I like Will Smith, and I like him taking these kind of movies.
Certainly not a lot going on in theaters that week. There's really only two releases, and you can probably understand why you might release a smaller movie opposite Gareth Edwards' Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, starring Felicity Jones, Diego Luna, Mads Mikkelsen, and Forest Whitaker. As great as this movie looks, I find it difficult to believe that once upon a time, I was worried after Josh Trank was replaced as the director about a year and a half ago. I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen with this movie? How can it possibly?
It'll get better.
Yeah, it looks amazing. I'm super pumped to see it.
Was he replaced on this one? Was he doing Rogue One? Or was
yeah.
That- okay.
Yeah.
I got him mixed up. I couldn't remember where. I thought Gareth Edwards was always at the beginning.
No, when I went to Celebration, we were standing in
Trank
line.
Just didn't-
yeah, he just didn't show up. We were supposed to see something. We ended up just seeing like a footage of the Death Star as seen from a planet, which looked cool. There was a voiceover, and the big news was Josh Trank was sick.
Yeah,
this was post Fantastic Four debacle, and then it came out a little bit later that
he was off the project.
He's a dickbag, apparently. So he got fired. Gareth Edwards got hired, and it looks like we're gonna have a kick-ass Star Wars movie.
It looks good. I think it looks awesome. I worry how confusing it'll be to the general public. The timeline is all screwed up because
right.
you have...
Because really...
Last year, Force Awakens
yeah.
took place
30 years after.
After episode 6. So
yeah.
now you have...
The movies before that took place before this.
And then
yeah.
this takes place before episode 4. I think it looks awesome, though. We haven't seen Darth Vader, but we know he's in it, which I think is kind of
cool.
We've
seen him. He was in the last trailer.
Oh, I haven't watched the last trailer.
You
yet.
Just... Spoiler alert. You see his helmet, and
oh, okay.
you, he's just standing there. Or it's Dark Helmet, maybe. I mean,
yeah. And I like Felicity Jones.
Yeah,
I wish it was Tatiana Maslany, but I'll be all right with Felicity Jones.
We may hear from Felicity Jones again before the year is out, though there are not many weeks left. Wide release December 21st. A movie that
can I say this is probably out of the whole fall preview, probably my favorite week.
If you're gonna have a favorite week, it's got to start with Mike Fassbender, and it does. Justin Kurzel's Assassin's Creed, starring the aforementioned Mikey Fassbender, Marion Cotillard, Jeremy Irons. As if the mythology of these games wasn't enough, Fassbender's Callum Lynch and his story were created specifically for this movie, which is an adaptation of the seemingly popular video game series.
I don't know anything about the games. I don't play them, but I like Fassbender. The trailer looks cool. It looks like they have their own style of action, which I think will be awesome. There's a sci-fi element to it. Yes. I'm hoping this is the change for video games. Like, I'm hoping this is the one that's like, oh, this is possible.
I thought it was Warcraft.
Could be. I haven't seen it yet.
I thought you had. Oh, spoiler alert. Speaking of sci-fi and good, hopefully. Morton Tilden's Passengers, starring Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence. Speaking of two people that are probably loved by all humans. The Imitation Game director takes a swing at a 2007 Blacklist script from John Spates, who wrote the story for Marvel's Doctor Strange and is currently working on the Pacific Rim sequel. Lawrence and Pratt accidentally find themselves awakened 60 years early from stasis on a giant passenger ship and seemingly don't have much else to do apart from flirt with each other.
I like those two, and I like sci-fi. So you tell me a movie that's based around just those two? Absolutely. I feel like this is one that bounced. I feel like Anne Hathaway was attached at one point.
Oh, a lot of people did.
And
I think
somebody was there before.
I feel like Keanu Reeves was in there because
yeah.
it's his production company, I believe, that's doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot of guys.
I mean,
that,
if you go through things and you're settle, is Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence.
Right.
You
you're
did
doing
right.
okay. Oh, she's going to make a ton of money off this movie. I think she's making like $20 million against 30% of
yeah.
the gross, and he's making 12, which. Hey.
She's an Oscar winner.
There
Oscar
you go,
nominee.
Ladies.
Like, yeah.
Who says you don't make the same as men?
Be Jennifer Lawrence. Problem solved.
Yeah. You talked about some of the good animated movies this year. I'm not sure
this
if this
is one of them. It,
yeah, it doesn't smell like one of them, although DreamWorks does do some good stuff from time to time. Garth Jennings brings us Sing, starring Matthew McConaughey, Reese Witherspoon, and Seth MacFarlane.
Taron Egerton.
Yeah, who could have been maybe in a different life, young Han Solo. Computer animated animals take over.
Singing Harambe.
Yes, the silver screen and stage when McConaughey's Koala holds a singing competition to save his theater from closing.
It's animated animal American Idol.
Yeah, kind of.
Reese Witherspoon's a pig, I think.
Egerton is a gorilla.
A mafia gorilla.
I think Scarlett Johansson is
a rat?
A porcupine, maybe, something like or something. That. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It's, like, I get that it's trying to be everything that it wants to be, but it... I don't care about
it. Well,
this.
If you were disappointed this year that you might not get to hear Seth MacFarlane sing in a movie, don't worry about it. We got you.
Ted is coming.
For a third time. Also coming that week, Peter Chesholm's The Space Between Us, starring Asia Butterfield, Britt Robertson, Gary Oldman, and Carla Gugino. This week specifically has kind of a solid sci-fi. As much as I want to see Passengers, I think I want to see The Space Between Us that much.
It looks awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That week, Assassin's Creed, Passengers, Space Between Us, I don't know what order I would see those in. I don't know what would be my second and third choice that week.
I think it depends on the times that the movies are playing. Asia Butterfield plays the first human born on Mars who makes a visit to Earth to find his father and meet up with a young lass he's been video chatting with whilst on the red planet.
Britt Robertson.
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
I adore. I think she's awesome. Tomorrowland was a misstep, but I still think she's destined to be just a big-time star.
So this is kind of like The Martian, sort of.
On it's, Earth.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
This is, like, we get to see
if
a little
Matt
bit more.
If Matt Damon were a little kid.
Right. Born on Mars instead of maroon
there. And
then
came to Earth.
Yes.
And was in love with Britt Robertson.
And then got sick because he's not used to being on
because
Earth.
Because of the atmosphere.
Right,
yeah.
And had to be taken back
it's
to Mars.
Exactly
it's
like the
same,
Martian.
Right. Yeah. In limited release that week, I feel like this is one that they just snuck out just to get it in this year, and I don't really understand why. It's Peter Berg's Patriots Day, starring Mark Wahlberg, John Goodman, J.K. Simmons, a bunch of actors I love. So if you had to get a guy to play a Boston cop, wouldn't Wahlberg be kind of right at the top of that list? He plays a fictional police sergeant during the very real events of the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing.
We talk about, like, oh, Will Smith wants an Oscar. You had concussion last year, and you have cerebral palsy or whatever this year.
Collateral beauty.
Yeah, that. And Marky Mark and Peter Berg want an Oscar. They have Deepwater Horizon that came out in September, and then this. So yeah, within a couple of months, you have two Peter Berg, Marky Mark movies. After Lone Survivor got grossly overlooked,
yes,
by the Academy. I thought that movie was great. I don't have those expectations for either of these Marky Mark Peter Berg collabs, though.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just putting it on the head, but wouldn't it have made sense to release this movie right around Patriots Day? Unless they're really, really wanting that Oscar. In limited release that week is J.A. Bayona's A Monster Calls, starring Louis McDougall, Sigourney Weaver, the aforementioned Felicity Jones, Toby Kebbell, and Liam Neeson. Bayona's follow-up to the Naomi Watts 2014 heavy-hitting The Impossible sees a little boy with some family drama of his own befriending a monster while struggling with the terminal illness of his mother.
This is another one that I think
sounds heavy, but
it's
really
a best
good.
Picture now. Like, I think it gets adapted screenplay. I think it gets quite a bit of Oscar love, and I think it's going to be awesome. I think it'll be really, really. I think this will be everything the BFG wanted to be.
Yeah. I love the cast. I love Liam Neeson as the monster, like Sigourney Weaver. If the kid's good,
anything.
Yeah, if the kid's good, then the movie will be good. And nothing says Merry Christmas like a movie.
A bunch of throwaway movies.
About an out-of-work Negro Leagues player. Directed by Denzel Washington, it's Fences, starring Denzel and Viola Davis. Written by August Wilson, based on his play of the same name, sees Denzel reprising his role from an earlier stage run as Troy Maxson, a struggling former Negro Leagues baseball player in 1950s Pittsburgh.
I like Denzel, and I believe this is the first thing he's directed since Preacher's wife or Preacher's daughter or whatever it was.
I think so, yeah.
I like Denzel a lot. I'm not the target audience for this movie, but I get it's good for Christmas release because it's Denzel, so people go see Denzel.
In a Denzel movie. Maybe it won't get a lot of Oscar love for that one. A guy that has got some Oscar love, got some Oscar gold, is Matthew McConaughey. He stars in Stephen Gaggin's Gold, also featuring Edgar Ramirez and Bryce Dallas Howard. Matty and Edgar team up to see if there's gold in Dem Hills in Borneo.
Toby Kebbell also in this. This kind of Matthew McConaughey, he transformed for this role. I think he's pretty much bald in this movie. Free State of Jones wasn't really the Academy Award winner Matthew McConaughey release that they thought it'd be. I think they're hoping this will kind of turn that around. I like Kebble, but I like Gagin enough. Bryce Dallas Howard, but there's no giant lizard or reptile creatures.
If she's not wearing high heels in this movie, I'm just not interested. And finally, to close out the year, John Hanberg's Why Him, starring him, James Franco, Bryan Cranston, and Zoe Deutsch. James Franco tries to get Bryan Cranston to do what he's already done with the rest of the country, and that is get us to love him, as specifically he tries to win the approval necessary to marry Cranston's daughter.
It actually looks kind of funny.
I want to see those two together.
It's yeah, and that's going to be the selling point. I like Zoe Deutsch a lot. She's better than the female lead in a movie built around the two
male
leads.
Not featuring females.
Yeah, but I mean, it looks funny. It looks like they'll have a good chemistry because, you know, Walter White came up with comedy. Seinfeld, Malcolm in the Middle.
The dad in Malcolm in the Middle.
He knows what he's doing when it comes to comedy. And
that put upon dad role we've seen from him, and he was great as Hal. So, yeah, I'm excited to see.
I don't have high expectations for it, but it looks like it'll be just an entertaining kill 2 hours.
On Christmas?
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a Tarantino movie I can see.
No. I'll see Rogue One by 4 times at this point, probably.
Right, exactly. So if I want to see something new, why not him?
Yeah, why not?
That is going to take it.
It's a weird
as far
season,
as we
though.
Know, through the rest of the season.
Yeah, last year we missed Big Short because it was thrown in later.
Snuck up. Honest.
This season has gotten to be where it's just things get moved. The McDonald's movie got moved into a limited run. So if something that needs a little time to cook feels like it could be an Oscar movie, they'll throw it out like for a limited release just to get it in contention for this year. But
yeah, or if you know the other things don't seem like they're getting the traction that people think they are, and there might be an opportunity, then you might see. And I feel like that's kind of what happened with The Founder. They were like, no, wait a minute, looking at the slate this year, we might actually be able to do something with this. So I think that's the reason for that to get pushed back. A lot of movies based on books. I want to say it's an abnormal amount of horror movies for Q4.
Yeah,
specifically, which doesn't really bother me. I complained that we had quite a few in December, although it just makes it that much easier to be able to see them.
You know, you have Doctor Strange in the 1st of November, but you're missing that like Thanksgiving blockbuster that Twilight and the Hunger Games exploited for so long.
Yeah.
That's kind of not there this year. It seems like a weird year. There's nothing that screams like, oh, that's going to be a massive hit, or oh, that's going to be an Oscar movie. Like, there's none of that. Like, yeah, I called Oscars for quite a few movies, but those aren't, I don't think when the first TV spot hits, that it's not Lincoln. It's not.
Yeah, there's maybe nothing that really jumps off the page like that, or Dallas Buyers Club. I mean, I do think that the Star Wars is going to make a lot of money. I expect Doctor Strange will, just because Marvel movies
those
do.
Those will make money, yeah. I mean, people are dying for it because Civil War was in May, and you know, we haven't had anything since.
And I think the Rock movie will do well, that Disney one.
Yeah, I think I'm just, that one's just so weird. And maybe it's just me that isn't hyping it up. Like, it just doesn't seem like it's as anticipated as a Disney movie starring The Rock from the director of The Little Mermaid should be.
I'm not sure that the director of, I mean, by and large, I think Disney movies don't make hay based on their director.
No, and I get that, but I'm saying like there's pedigree there. There's pedigree there. And I could be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Like Wreck-It Ralph felt like there was buzz, you know, like there was buzz around Wreck-It Ralph. And I don't know.
I mean,
maybe we're too far out.
Maybe
that's
it. I've seen a couple spots for that movie already, and I mean, it looks cool. I think the kids will get into it for sure. Doing fantasy film ball this year, if we choose to do it again,
it's a toss up.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, I think it would be a lot of times we do have that movie that everybody knows. Like, yeah, take Star Wars. That's probably a good bet, and you're going to be fine. Last year, they're usually are movies that jump out, and you know, all right, well, this is going to be the awards movie, this is the box office movie. But
this year is weird.
Yeah, this year is going to be, which is not a bad thing.
It might make it
a little more interesting.
The more unpredictable. I just want the Oscars to get to a point where they're so unpredictable that an April or May or June release date doesn't rule it out. Like last year you had Mad Max jump in and get a bunch of noms after being a summer release, but like – I want to get to that where it's like, let's spread out these movies. You know, let's not rush to have two Marky Mark, Peter Berg movies within a month of each other. Let's take our time and promote these movies. And because you look at some of them and, you know, some of those, there were horror movies in October this year. So It's different. But I don't know. It's just, I feel like everything is transitioned because like March is like a blockbuster. There's room for a blockbuster now, which there never used to be. Summer is a little different. It's not blockbuster after blockbuster. They're a little more spread out.
Your dumping grounds are fewer and far between now.
It's September and January pretty much. But even January, you have like one movie that the studio's confident in that just knows it can clean up in January. And I just want to see them spread out. I don't want to see movies like Trumbo and all those movies that it's like, oh, this is them trying for an Oscar,
right,
like, all at once, because it gets boring.
It gets boring, and it's tough to try and see them all because, for whatever reason, we don't get sent screeners. I'm not sure why that doesn't happen or who we have to
pay off. And, I mean, there's certain directors that, like, okay, you know they're making a movie. You know when it's coming out because it's an automatic, if Paul Thomas Anderson does a movie,
right,
Quentin does a movie, it's Ang Lee does a movie. Like, it's getting released in this time frame because...
Well, Quentin's kind of carved out that niche on Christmas. I was like...
No, I get it. That might have been a bad example, but like...
Certainly, Paul Thomas Anderson, I think, is a great
David
example.
David O. Russell there for a while.
Yeah. We always like to carve out the month of October to do kind of a series of love letters to horror, which is a genre that's near and dear to both of our hearts. Actually, next week we are going to kick off the month of October, because it wouldn't start until we officially kick it off, with two episodes, and we're going to do two a week for the entirety of the month. The first episode will be our 31 movies. We always try and list 31 cool horror movies to watch this month. A lot of sites do that, where here's one to watch every day and you see if you can do it. I don't have the time. I don't think that most people do, but you know, if you're starved for a recommendation on a horror movie, certainly you'll find enough in our list in that 31 for October that you won't be bored this month at all. Pretty much the rest of the month is going to be movies that we've chosen to watch, horror movies. And we're going to lead it off with Nightbreed, which is a movie that Dave's talked a lot about this year specifically.
Yeah, I don't know why all of a sudden it's like, I bring it up all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it snuck on Netflix about this time last year.
I've watched it like three times.
And has been there ever since. And it's been gaining some momentum here in the Movies on Up Studios. So we're going to do Nightbreed and 31 Movies to Watch next week. If there are any cool horror movies that you have some recommendations for, let us know. Tweet them at us. That would be great. We would love some suggestions of some things that maybe we haven't seen. There's a ton of stuff on Netflix. You can't watch it all. So if you run across something that's really rad, let us know. moviesonup@gmail.com. You can email them to us, or @moviesonup on the Twitter. That's going to do it for our fall preview episode. We will see you next week in the very best month of the year.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. And until then,
keep it up. I like gagging enough.